Hey, welcome to the Thanksgiving episode of the Life 2.0 podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. I'm glad to have you joining me from everywhere and anywhere all over planet Earth. Time to go up the down staircase in the outdoor, make sense out of the senseless, and find the obvious buried in the absurd. Let's get to it. As I said, it's the Thanksgiving episode of the podcast, and hopefully this finds you doing very well this time of year. These are bittersweet days coming for many people. I have friends of mine and acquaintances, let's put it that way, colleagues, that have endured and suffered loss over the last year since Thanksgiving rolled around in 2020. It was a very different world even just a year ago. As Cyrus the virus has eased its grip on us a little bit, people are going to be out about moving a little bit more this year than they were last year. And as I said, I have some friends that were here last Thanksgiving and they are not here this year. And I will be thinking of them a little bit more than I always do, which is pretty much every day. I have this little table in my studio, kind of a remembrance table, a reminder table. And there's a lot of prayer cards on there and tribute cards of friends of mine that have gone ahead of me. And I think of that table every time I take a look at it. It's right in front of me there. So hard not to think about it when it's right in front of you. Every morning when I turn the lights on in my office, I have a bunch of stuff in here. These are all reminders of my journey to some greater or lesser degree. And as I said, there's this table with all those friends of mine on there. So this Thanksgiving, I thought I would attempt something a little bit different. And I mentioned a few shows back that I have this incredible trove of treasures secretly hidden in Rubbermaid boxes, literally hundreds and hundreds of cassette tapes that are double-sided. So we're talking about thousands of radio shows that I've done over the years since I started in 1997. And I got these stuff. It's in no particular order. I suppose I could take the time to go through every single one of them, but it's just, at this point, it's kind of just like background music. When I come across something and then I start sort it out a little bit and put a pile over here. But this one box, I did take the time and energy and the effort to kind of pick through and say, well, let me just keep this a little bit closer. So I have a box of folks who made an impact in my life and made an impact in the world. And quite frankly, I think that on some level, everybody that I've talked to, whether they were famous or infamous, known or unknown, has done that. They wouldn't be on the show if they had not had something to bring to the table, so to speak. And I enjoy listening to shows that are years old. And not so much, obviously, I don't need to hear my voice, which has changed dramatically over the years. But these conversations I've only heard once. Some of them I've never heard except when we did these on the air. And the tape quality is remarkably good. I don't play them a lot, if ever. I mean, where do you find a cassette player anymore? I have this little machine called EasyCap, which allows me to put the cassette in there and then digitally download it to my computer so I can work with it. And that's the only thing. No car has a cassette player in it anymore. And this one particular box, as I mentioned, has these people that, I kind of just upped the ante a little bit with them. And this, going through these boxes last week, on 11/19/21, I want to keep that in mind. On the 19th of November, I was going through all this box of stuff because I'm looking for something I can't find. And it would not be in the box, but I started there anyway. You must have been, if not recently, at some point in your life, looking for things you can't find anymore. You don't know where you put them. I'm convinced that there's a hole somewhere in the universe where this stuff just gets sucked into it. And you just saw it and you can't find it. And in particular, what I'm looking for is this cubed baseball. It's in a cube, a little plastic cube, pretty beat up. And this baseball came to me when I played in it was 1993 in the Randy Hundley Fantasy Baseball Camp. And when you're finished with the camp for 3 days, they give you a fake $1 million contract, a bunch of stuff, and you get to keep your uniform. And they give you a ball that's signed by all the players. And that ball has sat in a cube since 1993. So this past fall, I did an event for my high school, Schurz High School in Chicago, and Randy Hundley, who was the catcher for that team, I'm digressing here big time. Randy Hundley, who was a catcher for that 1969 team and other, you know, he'd been with the Cubs for quite a while, all-star and all like that. He was so generous to sign a mitt for a silent auction. And so we have all this stuff set up, and I took the ball, and I was originally going to put it in the mitt as a display. And I don't know where it went after that. I put it in a box with a bunch of other stuff. It was a great idea. Gone. So now I have a different mitt sitting here signed by Randy with a different ball, and it's just no autograph. But on a daily basis, I just cannot for the life of me remember where the hell that baseball went. Anyway, that's serious digression to get to this point. So why would I be looking for a baseball in a box that only holds cassette tapes is beyond my comprehension. But when you get desperate, you start digging through shit. So I'm going through this box on the 19th of November, and I come across a bunch of tapes with the name Earl Hamner on it. Now, Earl Hamner was the creator of the Waltons. And if you grew up in the 70s, 60s, and 70s like I did, the Waltons was a big deal on TV. I mean, it was this drama based on Earl's life back in Schuyler, Virginia, living in the Depression and going through everything that he went through and his family went through. And he was a very adept writer and screenwriter. So he was able to sell this thing to CBS, and it became a huge deal. And, you know, for years, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing, "Good night, John Boy," because that's how the shows ended. And there was a sense of calm, I think, that came with watching the Waltons. And so anyway, all of that in mind when I see Earl's name there. Now, Earl passed away in 2016. He was a dear friend, and some of my favorite memories on radio is spending time listening to his voice. You know, again, the Waltons was narrated by Earl, so the voiceover and all that kind of stuff, he did all that. And we stayed in touch, you know, long after that was kind of out of the way, meaning when I stopped doing radio in Michigan and I moved to Oprah Radio, we didn't have much call for that. But I missed those days. And even though I haven't listened to these tapes for a very long time, I came across his name and I thought, well, this is really interesting. And so there's three or four tapes I found with Earl Hamner's name on it. So the first one I grab, I turn it over, and on the back side of the label, the back label where it says Earl Hamner, it's got a date and, you know, time stamp and all that, it was 11/19/2001. It was 20 years ago to the day that it aired on my show in Michigan, and 11/19/01. That's just a couple of months since 9/11. So I put the tape in my machine, and I'm listening to this, and, you know, it's a time capsule to some greater or lesser degree. And we're talking about things now that, you know, the 20th anniversary of 9/11 has just passed. And yet in this conversation I have with Earl, it's just 2 months past. And talking about how the world was at that time and how we need to be kinder to each other and all this stuff. So I had made the idea in my mind a while back that I was going to take these tapes and I'm going to add them to the rotation of the Life 2.0 podcast and do a throwback Thursday kind of thing. You know, I don't know if I was going to do it every week because it gets to be a lot to pull all that stuff off and digitalize it and then edit it down. But you know, a couple, three times a month, I'm going to put this in. Well, it just so happened that 11/19/01 show with Earl Hamner was just a couple days before Thanksgiving that year. And we're talking about, again, how the world is and how, what's changed. And he starts talking about, and I think I ask him about Thanksgiving, and he goes on this whole great little mini rant about what's important and family and things. So it's early here in the morning, the day before Thanksgiving in 2021, 20 years later, and I wanted to put this up as a throwback Thursday thing. Well, by the time I put this up tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, no one's going to listen to it because you're all eating turkey. So it's going up today as a way back Wednesday. Let's put it that way. I can let you do the digging on the Waltons. I'll leave that up to you. But suffice to say, it ran for 9 seasons. It was a huge hit for CBS. Nobody thought it was going to make it because back then it was all kind of like, you know, it wasn't that kind of programming was not the norm. It kind of brought people back to their roots a little bit. No pun intended. And I believe there was a comment made years ago by President Bush, who in 1992, H.W. Bush said something like, you know, we're going to keep trying to make the American family stronger. We need to have more shows like The Waltons and less shows like The Simpsons. I think The Simpsons have done pretty well in their time. They're probably more popular than The Waltons ever was. But it was those kind of comments that shows you this, you know, the significance of the show back at the time. So anyway, I don't want to go on too long here because I've already edited the interview down. I've taken all the commercials out. Why would you want to sit through commercials from 20 years ago, even though they are interesting to me? All of it's interesting to me. So I'm going to let this roll. This is my conversation with Earl Hamner from 11/19/2001. I want to wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving, even though the shit's hitting the fan every day and chaos seems to rule the headlines. Remember the lifelines. Thanksgiving's about lifelines in so many different ways. And so I wish you a great holiday, and keep those who are no longer here in your hearts. Happy Thanksgiving. Here's Earl Hamner.
This is George Anderson, medium and author of Lessons from the Light. Tune your inner spirit and your radio to John St. Augustine on Power Talk Radio, the most powerful hours on radio today on News Talk 600 WCHT.
That's right. George Anderson is correct. Turn your radio into the show because you get things here that nobody else has anywhere. And when I talk about Earl Hamner coming on the show, I get all thinking about how life used to be, and I think about the simple things in life, and what a great, great guy he is. He was the guy, of course, that created The Waltons. It's one of the most beloved family series of all time. It still runs on television constantly, and even my kids these days at 13 and 10 still sit down and watch John Boy and all the whole crew go through their ups and downs. And he really was able to find out how to turn stories from his own life into the cherished cast of characters that we all grew up with that inhabited Walton's Mountain, not to mention the fact that his book, The Avocado Drive Zoo, really talks about the critters in his life. And he's got a special kinship, as his wife Jane does, with the critters in our country. And now he has this humorous and very heartwarming book that's out. And it's always a pleasure to bring a good friend on the show, Earl Hamner. How you doing, Earl?
Hi. I was just thinking what a topsy-turvy world we live
yeah.
in. You probably have snow, and I'm planting lettuce.
Yeah. You're planting lettuce.
Well, I'm a gardener, and
yeah.
in Hollywood, or at least in Los Angeles, you can garden year-round,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the best things about living here.
And you're absolutely right. We have snow in the air today.
Do you really?
Yeah, some flurries.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. You know, I mentioned to you, I was in California about a month ago, and the young lady that was driving me around for a couple days, I said, "How do you do Christmas?" And she said, "Warmly."
That's true.
Yeah, it's a little different out there.
It doesn't feel like Christmas, really, so you have to celebrate in the interior, spiritually
absolutely.
Rather than
absolutely.
Physically. You sure can't go. You know, we live way up in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's probably ever snowed here.
Wow.
But visitors from out of town will say, "What do you do when it snows? Don't you slide off?"
You know, I've never asked you, because your voice is so familiar to millions of people. What is it like to know all these years later that you're out in your garden doing the lettuce and somewhere in the world your voice is talking about Walton's Mountain?
Well, I have a big enough ego that I love it. As a matter of fact, once my wife and I were in London, and we bought something in the store, and I gave them my Visa card, and the lady said, "You're the man whose voice I hear."
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else said that they fell in love with the sound of my voice.
Well,
so I hope it's had a beneficial effect.
I was going to say, and I hope they're still together, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
You know, I mentioned this before, and you know, I've had so many people on this show, and I always have this kind of group off to my left here that when I feel like something happens to us as a whole, I wonder what they're thinking about, and you're in that group. You know, what you've done and the way the Waltons and a lot of the other works that you've done, Spencer's Mountain, and Charlotte's Web and all those other things that you've worked on, talk about life in such simple terms. And, of course, since September 11th, life has been anything but simple terms.
It really has. And I suppose the world, I have a feeling, will never be the same again. And I think we probably have to learn simple things all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been wondering what I am thankful for, and, of course, I'm most thankful for my family,
mm-hmm.
and after that for my country and my work and life itself. And those are very basic things.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that we could learn from what happened is that we had grown so excessive in our way of life. We'd gone too complacent. We thought we were such a powerful nation that nothing could ever harm us, and we learned that we are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So I hope we'll learn ways to keep strong in the future. I think if anything good comes from this, it can be to renew our faith in the values that have kept us going since the time we first started, since the time this country was first, we won our independence from England. Those are noble things that we've lived by, and I think we need to relearn them.
You know, the Waltons, of course, takes place during the Depression years, and your remembrance of them and how they related to the times. And here we are now with difficult times in a little, obviously in many different ways. Do you see the same things, the same spirit in people that you did back then, just even though it was different circumstances? Is it still run through us as Americans?
Well, I was impressed the other day that in New York, where I haven't been there for many years, but where many of these tragedies were located, that I understand that people have become much more considerate of each other, much more kind to each other, that politeness has come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in New York, which is such a tough place, but I see a little more courtesy, a little more consideration, a little more value in each other, and I see a softer attitude even on television.
Well, that's all good.
Yeah,
that's all
absolutely
good. You know what? We're going to take a break. Earl Hamner joining me this afternoon. And some of you might be interested to stick around because when you find out what he was doing on Twilight Zone, you're not going to believe it. The same guy that did the Waltons, working on stuff that scared the you-know-what out of people sometimes. Quick time out. Take care of the people that take care of us. The most powerful hours on radio. Continue with just a little bit more on the other side of this break after this. Millions of young people grew up listening to that music. I still see it on television quite often. And Earl Hamner, of course, is the creator and producer of the hit TV series. He's written for The Twilight Zone. Wait till you listen to that. CBS Playhouse and the Theater Guild of Air. As a film writer, he won awards for Where the Lilies Bloom and the animated version of Charlotte's Web. His best-selling books include Spencer's Mountain, The Homecoming, which was made into a feature film. And you can't get there from here. And his latest book is The Avocado Drive Zoo. And it's always great to have Earl join us. You know what I found great about the Avocado Drive Zoo is that the personalities of these little critters, the box turtles and the lizards and the dogs and all the other things and the coyotes and the mice, they all really come to the surface in the book. Do you think a lot of times we overlook the four-leggeds, the wingeds, and those that swim in our lives?
Oh, I think we overlook their intelligence in general. We have a pug dog named Charlie, and sometimes we'll order food to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie will hear us order it, and then he'll go to the door so he can meet the person who delivers
it. Is that right?
It's uncanny. It's frightening. But I love the different personalities that many animals have, and I wonder if it's sort of inborn or if it's a trait of that particular animal.
Mm-hmm.
I know the animal that I probably loved most in the world was a white lab. You know, they're called yellow labs, but there was nothing yellow at all about this lab. And he would look at me with such intelligence as if to say, I'm listening to you, Earl, or I like you, or let's go for a walk. He could communicate.
Mm.
And when we had to put him to sleep, it was one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever had to do.
Mm-hmm. I had a dog. You know, everybody has their dog stories. I think that's why a lot of the books that are about pets do so well. And sometimes people don't talk about it, but I remember this dog. I had a boxer for 12 years, and his name was Jake. And I named him Big Jake because the day I got him, John Wayne movie was on television.
Yeah.
And inseparable for those 12 years. Same kind of thing, almost telepathic to a degree.
Yes.
And we went, you know, wherever I was in the service at the time, wherever I went, he went. And it was really amazing. And it was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done, to have to put that dog down. And I remember getting home that afternoon, and there's an old poem somewhere about why dogs are man's best friend, because they don't judge and they don't, right, all that stuff. And it is just so true, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We now have, in addition to the pug, we have an old Cocker Spaniel, and he's just like an elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
He's slowed down,
mm-hmm,
and he will look up like sometime like, slow down, I can't keep up with you guys. and he has health problems, but we thought we were going to lose him at Christmas, but the vet brought him through. Interestingly, he had to have a blood transfusion.
Is that right?
And it seemed to be that he had a blood transfusion from a greyhound.
Is that
so
right?
So when I'm about to pass out, I've asked my wife to get me a bloodhound transfusion.
Excuse me. I'm trying to
save my life.
I'm trying to picture this. You laying on one and the dog on the other side. And the wire, you're going between, that's something.
I don't know. There's something about me that just invites ridiculous pictures.
Well, you paint them well, Earl, sometimes. I'll have to give you that.
So.
You know what? I was wondering, too. It's uncanny, really. A lot of television shows make it a year or two. But the Waltons were on all those years and still to this day play all over the world. There's fan clubs. There's reunions, all those kind of things. Do you think that the messages that were brought out in the 70s of the Waltons are as important or as needed today as they were then, with everything we're going through?
Oh, I think absolutely more than then, because there we were at a time when there was sort of distrust of our government, and there were riots over Vietnam and the unfortunate things that Nixon was up to. And so we developed a lot of distrust in our leaders. This time it's not just distrust it's danger. I worry that there is another shoe going to drop. But I am encouraged that we are routing the Taliban. But I do think that this kind of thing that we talked about in the Waltons can sustain us even in frightening times,
mm-hmm,
when you open the mail and you're not sure if it's safe to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Waltons is still comforting.
Mm.
But in addition to those values, we also told pretty good stories. It was almost like once upon a time John Boy went hunting and
mm-hmm
didn't want to shoot the deer.
Now, when you first approached the networks or vice versa, were they sold on this immediately, this idea of a simple story like that?
You know, they trusted me, and once in a while a network person was just trying to do their job and would offer advice, or sometimes they would dictate. And I must say, I fought those who dictated what I thought was wrong,
mm-hmm,
and I trusted my own judgment. And not that I'm just so wonderful, but I knew these people, and I knew the stories they could tell. And I didn't want any interference.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I am tooting my own horn.
Well, that's all right.
What the heck?
What the heck? You're ready for a transfusion soon anyway. It doesn't matter. You'll
all
be
right.
All set. Wasn't there one story that you wanted to tell that they wouldn't let you? I can't remember. Wasn't there something like that? One of the episodes you wanted to do and it didn't happen?
It wasn't that the network wouldn't let me tell it. I couldn't interest any of the other writers in it.
Oh, yeah?
It was, you know, the two ladies who made the... they called it the recipe, but
yes,
actually it was apple brandy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell a story about one of the ladies looking out the window and saying, oh, sister, come to the window. I see a giraffe in the yard.
Uh-huh.
And the other sister thinks that she's been drinking the recipe when actually there is a giraffe in the yard because there's a small circus has broken down nearby. If we'd been able to keep that on a series on longer, I would have told that story one of the days. I thought it's kind of a cute idea.
Yeah. When you said that, do you ever get a chance to watch now? Do you catch yourself on television and there you are? Does that happen?
Yes, once in a while, and it always surprises me. And I must say, I can't turn it off. I'll watch all
the
way.
Is that right? You watch the whole show?
Of course.
You and the pug, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the name of the book that you folks at home, by the way, I forgot to thank you folks for joining us as well as on television. Earl, since you've been on, we're not on TV at the same time. So you folks at home on Charter Communications, Charter Channel 2, are looking at the cover of Earl Hamner's book, The Avocado Drive Zoo. And really what it is, in a lot of ways, I think, is It talks about your journey in life, but you have all these amazing creatures, and I'll never forget the motel where the cleaning lady came in?
Oh, yeah. When I had a turtle in the closet that was a pet of my son's. She was very, very, she called it an armadillo.
Right, that's right. That's right. She didn't want to clean the room because there was an armadillo in there.
I don't think the book, maybe, I'm not sure it's in all bookstores, but people can order it over Amazon.com on the internet. I know they have copies.
Well, the name of the book, again, is The Avocado Drive Zoo. It's interesting to me because the work that Earl has done has crossed not only different mediums, but also so many different things. Twilight Zone bouncing over to Falcon Crest, bouncing over to Walton's Mountain. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about are these all pieces of his life? Is that how this stacks up? And as Earl mentioned, if you want to go out and get the book, it'd be a great gift for the holidays, especially when things are hectic and they're moving too fast and we're trying to figure out what's important in life and remember the simple things. This is a phenomenal read, The Avocado Drive Zoo. We'll take a quick time out and take care of those people that allow us to bring you shows, like with my good friend Earl Hamner. Power Talk Radio continues with more right after this on News Talk 600 WCHT. You want to go out and get a really good book for somebody that you love? We'll go out and pick up The Avocado Drive Zoo. The creator of the Waltons and Falcon Crest, Earl Hamner, tickles the funny bones and touches the hearts with this tale of this book. I'm just going to read a part. Well, I got to bring him on because I got to read a partial list here. Is he gone? There he is. There he is.
Hi, John.
I think the animals are chewing through the phone lines here.
That's probable.
Listen, I want to just give a partial list of some of the critters that have been in here. 12 box turtles from Virginia. This sounds like the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
Bantam hens and roosters, Talmadge the mouse, various wild birds, Willie the family rat, a family of quail, a baby chick named Blackie, Gus the dog, Yarrow the white Labrador that you talked about, a family of coyotes that put the Hamner family in a little bit of conflict with the law.
Yeah.
An alligator surprised the cat who almost decimated the family of pet rats, I would imagine, which is Raymond the rabbit, George the guinea pig, Sandy the dog, and a plethora of unnamed pets and critters. You've lost count long ago, I imagine.
Well, you know, we still have some of the children of the coyotes. They still live in our neighborhood, and they have quite remarkable animals.
You know,
I wanted to ask you, did you see the meteor shower?
You know what? It was so cloudy here, we couldn't see it, but I heard it was unbelievable.
Well, I saw it. I woke up at 2:30. I didn't stay up. I just woke up at 2:30, and I looked out of my window, and I saw it. It was awesome, and I thought, what a lucky devil I am that I've seen two things in my life that won't come back for another 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
One was Halley's Comet, which I saw. And the second was this meteor shower, which you won't see again for 100 years.
Amazing.
I'm sorry you missed it.
You know what? I heard about it. I went outside, and it was raining. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I heard it was just incredible.
It was awesome. It really was. Mm-hmm. And I understand that really it consists of tiny grains of matter, something like sand,
mm-hmm.
And the friction as it soars across the sky is what makes the beauty of it. But I didn't want to know what caused it. It was just awesome to look at.
Yeah, leave the magic alone, huh?
Yes.
Yes. You know, these so many different pieces that you've put together, the books and the movies and the television shows, and some people would say, well, how is it possible that we could turn on and watch John Boy and all the rest there and talk about springtime on Walton's Mountain and hear all that. And then you could literally change the channel and see Falcon Crest, which is as 180 as you could get from the Waltons. How does that happen?
Well, I think it's because I'm a professional writer. I write for a living. And if you have lots of bows in your arrow. But there were some nice, I think, connections between, say, Falcon Crest and the Waltons, because the character that Jane Wyman played was very much in love with her land. She was devoted to her land, even though she raised grapes. And she had a sense of family values and pride and ritual. And she knew that it was through the family that values are passed on. so that even though she would disown her grandson about every other week, it was always for a good reason, because he'd misbehave. But I think when you are a professional writer, you can write a variety of things, and I certainly have in my career.
Did you have much say-so in who plays the roles when it came down to it?
I did on The Waltons, yes. I was the producer, so I could choose the people. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that we were so lucky, especially to get Richard Thomas, because I think he did a better job of me than I did of growing up.
You know, go ahead.
I wanted to tell you something exciting. The Laguna Playhouse, a marvelous theater down south of L.A., is putting on a stage version of my play, The Homecoming.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to take part in it. I'm going to be the storyteller.
Oh, boy.
Be my debut on stage.
Yeah.
I got stage fright already.
They're going to have to pull you out of the garden and take the fishing pole out of your hands. If I know you, it's going to be one of those two things, and that's going to be it.
You betcha.
Well, you know what? It's got to feel good to be able to get back and to get into that part of the theater again and use your voice like you did in radio.
It harkens back to that. Mm-hmm. But it's the first time I've done any acting in about 50 years.
50 years. You may want to get that transfusion ahead of time.
Right,
you know what I mean?
I need it today.
Listen, can you stick around for just a couple more minutes? Hello. I don't know what's happening with his phone, but we will try and get him back. It's just one of those things. There's not much you can do about it. Earl Hamner has been joining me this afternoon, and it is the Avocado Drive Zoo. I don't know where he's at, but we'll find him. If not, we'll just carry on. It's a phenomenal book. As I mentioned before, Earl's got such a great writing style, and when you need to take a little bit of break and the CNN's got you down and enough's enough and you need to get back in the corner by the window in a rocking chair and put your feet up, this is the kind of book you want to read. It's phenomenal. He's an amazing writer and amazing wordsmith. Quick time out. Take care of the people that take care of us. See if we can dig up Earl Hamner on the other side of this commercial break. Power Talk Radio continues.
Hi, this is Barbara DeAngelis, author of Secrets About Life Every Woman Should Know. Stay tuned for more Power Talk Radio with John St. Augustine on News Talk 600 WCHT.
So we are back at it, Power Talk Radio on News Talk 600 WCHT. Before I lose him, I want to make sure I get Earl back on the air here, because the phone thing, it's the gremlins or something, who knows. You've had time in radio. I'm looking at a picture of a young Earl Hamner here next to an old Philco-type looking radio, and I'm a little partial to it, obviously, because I think it's still the most powerful way to transmit information. Do you think radio is being used the way that it could be these days?
Well, I think there ought to be more of it. I'd like to see more radio drama.
Mm.
Many of those wonderful stories that we used to tell on radio, I'd love to see them come back. We used to do, I worked at NBC for many years, and we used to dramatize plays by Shakespeare, and Tennessee Williams, and all those cats, and it was wonderful.
All those cats.
But I do think talk radio sort of takes the place of a town hall.
Mm-hmm.
People get to express their views and to hear from a good many people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have something to say.
Mm. When you go out and you're recognized all these years later, I'm sure there's people who grew up watching the Waltons and listening to you, and then of course they bring their kids along. It's got to be a treat.
It is. I must say, it's gratifying, and it makes it. I don't think a lot of writers get that kind of reward. But I do, and I glory in it.
Did you ever wish you could do anything else? Are you living your dream?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that God meant me to be a writer, and I think anything else that I might have become, I might not have been successful at it.
Mm. We're going to come up on Thanksgiving here in just a few days, and obviously with the way things happened in September and a lot of different mixed emotions and a lot of uncertainty in a lot of ways, it does remind some people of the era that the Waltons were set in. So what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
Well, I'm thankful for a good many things, but it usually boils down to family. I'm thankful for the family that my wife and I have made together. We've been married 46 years, and we have a grown son and a grown daughter and a home that is very valuable to both of us, and I'm thankful for that. But in another family, I'm thankful for the family that I was born into that many people in the world know about because of the Waltons, and that I was able to get the strength and the know-how from them, the security, to do what I wanted to do in the world, which I got from the family I was born into. And third family that I am grateful for, that I'm thankful for, is the American family, that all of us who are Americans, who belong to this great family, who came here from many different parts of the world, but now have left those countries,
mm-hmm.
and are now part of one big family, one strong family, and one family that I think will endure forever, and I hope be a model for a lot of other countries that aren't quite so lucky. I'm thankful for that.
So when you're not in the Cabbage Patch, you're not with a fishing pole in your hands, you've been working on any new books, anything we're going to see coming out?
Yes, I'm working on a book called Goodnight, John Boy, which will tell people everything they ever wanted to know about the Waltons.
All right.
And about my own family.
Well, Earl, always a pleasure to have you on. I wish you and your family, your lovely wife Jane, and all the animals there at the Outback, and the little pug dog, the best of Thanksgivings. It's always
a
pleasure.
We wish you and your viewers and your listeners the same.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's a storm across the valley. Clouds are rolling in. The afternoon is heavy on your shoulder. There's a truck out on the 4-lane, a mile or more away, and the whining of the wheel just makes it colder. He's an hour away from riding on your prayers up in the sky. For 10 days on the road, barely gone. There's a fire softly burning, supper's on the stove. It's the light in your eyes that makes him warm. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this old farm feels like yes, hey, it's good to be back home again. There's all the news to tell you. Honey, how do you spend your time? Tell me what's the latest thing the neighbors say. And your mother called last Friday. Sunshine made her cry, and you felt the baby move just yesterday. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Yes, it is. Sometimes this old farm feels like a long lost friend. Yes, hey, it's good be back home again. Oh, the time that I can lay this tired old body down. Feel your fingers feather soft upon me. The kisses that I live for. Happiness, living with you brings me. It's the sweetest thing I know. Just spending time with you. It's the little things that make a house a home. Like a fire softly burning and supper on the stove. And the light in your eyes.